Well, Phil Corey joins us now in our Parliament House studios. Phil, hello there.
Morning, Fran.
Well, it took more than 5 years, Phil. It took dozens, if not hundreds, of legal challenges and the US resettlement deal. Nevertheless, this big achievement has occurred now. All children removed from Nauru. It's certainly a moment worth celebrating. It won't necessarily be rewarded at the ballot box, Phil, but do you think this finally deals with, I don't want to relegate it to a distraction, but an issue for the government that was difficult for the government to manage?
Oh, clearly. I mean, first and foremost, it's good news for the kids who are off the island, and political considerations come second. But yeah, sure. I mean, yeah, this was a problem the government inherited when it came into power, because the kids had gone on to Nauru under the previous Labor government, and as we've seen over this, it hasn't been easy to get them off, and they've done it, and you know, they'll be glad they're gone, and they'll be glad they're gone before the election.
And you just heard David Isaacs there saying it was the Save the Children and other campaigns that were responsible for this. Do you think it was, or do you think you know, Scott Morrison came to the prime ministership determined to do this for another reason?
Look, I'm not expert enough on it, to be honest, Fran, but I think, you know, from what I've sort of listened to and read and encountered here, it's a combination of both. I think if it weren't for the, you know, the agitation from groups like Save the Children and stuff, keeping it in the public spotlight. But at the same time, you know, I had many conversations over the years with people in government, and, you know, if you give them one wish, it'd get everyone off those islands without bringing them to Australia, you know, some magic solution. I don't think anyone in their heart has sort of, you know, wanted to cause, you know, to inflict the unnecessary suffering in that, but it's just this intractable political problem as well. And
there was politics around this, of course, in the Wentworth by-election. Phelps made this really the central issue for her, and so there was that political pressure too. And this,
well, I think so. Yeah, this is sort of the imperative has certainly, you know, heightened. Certainly grown. Yeah, well, we saw it in the lead up to Wentworth. Remember, Scott Morrison was sort of making all sorts of promises about, doing this sort of thing, and then it seemed to go a bit cold after Wentworth, and then it took off again after Victoria. So there's nothing like political pressure at the end of the day to force something to happen.
And so this, in that vein, this milestone comes in the same week the Prime Minister has embraced renewable energy. He's pumped millions, if not billions, into pumped hydro this week. Are we seeing a transformation in the works, or is this, as John Howard would have said back in the day, barnacle clearing?
Look, it's definitely a deliberate emphasis, Fran. We saw yesterday the Prime Minister in Tasmania. Now, they were saying before summer they're going to underwrite these fair dinkum energy generation projects to increase competition in the generation market. They are open to underwriting coal. I thought it was significant that the first project that they flagged would be a hydroelectric project. And not, you can imagine the brouhaha if they'd gone down to a coal pit yesterday and said this will be the first one to get taxpayers' money. So, I mean, this is the thing. We've sort of There's a real epiphany, or maybe a deathbed confession inside the coalition, that actually people do care about climate change. And knocking off a prime minister 6 months ago, ostensibly because he was trying to do something about climate change, actually hasn't worked for them. And they're in a bit of trouble on this. So we had the big announcement this week on emissions, you know, Tony Abbott's emissions reduction fund, and then we embraced the Turnbull policies on hydroelectric.
Yeah, renewable energy. And a bit of trouble the government's in too with business at the moment. You spoke with the head of the Business Council, Jennifer Westacott, for your article today. She sounds thoroughly fed up with the business bashing going on from our politicians when she says it's a shambolic state of politics which is thwarting efforts to grow the economy and lift wages. Is she directing her criticism mainly at the government or Labor?
Oh, look, both sides, Fran. I think where Jennifer was coming from is, you know, she accepts business has a case to answer. Sectors like the banking sector and others have behaved pretty appallingly over the years, but she says we get that. We've heard the message. We're trying to fix things up. But you've got what a point is, you've got both sides of politics going to the election. You know, Labor's beating up the banks and the coalition's beating up the energy companies and so forth. And she said that I can understand that, but the net effect of that is if you kill confidence in business and stuff like that, you know, it threatens investment and it threatens job creation and so forth. And she said, you know, while we're at it, how about you have a look in your own backyard? The reason, you know, energy prices are high aren't because of us, it's because we haven't got an energy policy. And she had some quite brutal quotes about, you know, the state of politics over the last 10 years. You know, if a large company necked its CEO every 18 months, you know, changed its executive team and its strategic direction. Can you imagine what its shares would be worth? I think it's quite a good observation, you know.
It makes good for good reading, I must say. Hey, Phil, just finally and briefly, the Prime Minister will name the new chairman of the ABC today, and it's a woman. It's Ida Buttrose, a captain's pick of sorts, but a good one.
Look, I think so. I mean, you know, she's a sort of revered, respected figure, and she has journalistic background, so I think she'd be a better fit than her predecessor. And, you know, I don't know Ida Buttrose at all. I've spoken to her once in my life, but I suggest she's not going to get pushed around by anyone. She doesn't really need this job. You know, she's accomplished, so she strikes me as the sort of person who isn't going to get bullied by, you know, coalition senators or anyone else over the ABC, and hopefully it will just settle things down and we can stop talking about the ABC. Just let it do its job.
Hopefully we'll hear from her sometime soon. Phil, thank you very much.
Good on you.
Phil Khoury is political editor with the Australian Financial Review and one of our regular political commentators.